Okay, so jobs of the future, right? We all want to know what's coming down the pipeline. And we've all seen those articles, you know, alien ambassador, teleportation engineer.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But let's get real, you know, let's ditch the sci-fi today and really dive
That gives
into,
you practical.
yeah, exactly, practical stuff. So we're diving into an article. It's from Tap and Earn, and it's a gaming blog, believe it or not.
Gaming blog, interesting
I
source.
know, right? That's what caught my eye, and I thought this would be a fun deep dive. But it focuses on jobs that will keep us fed. So, you know, practical stuff. It does mention a few out there careers, which, you know, we'll get to.
Right.
But for the most part, it's pretty grounded in like, okay,
Legality.
what's really going to happen?
Oh,
Yeah, exactly.
makes sense.
So first up, cybersecurity specialist.
We hear this one a lot.
Yeah.
But the article uses a really relatable example. Imagine like you're trying to buy something online.
Okay.
And instead of getting that confirmation email,
Yeah.
you get a ransom note.
Oh no.
Oh no, right? Not the kind of shopping experience anyone wants.
No, thank you.
Yeah, it really underscores how important cybersecurity is. You know, in our digital world, it's not just about stopping hackers.
Right.
It's about protecting our information, our finances, everything.
It's like having a digital bodyguard. What kind of training goes into being a cybersecurity expert?
Well, it's a really interesting field because you need a blend of technical skills, but then also that critical thinking. You
Right.
need to understand how systems work, how to find those weak points, and then, you know, constantly be developing strategies. Right, because it's always changing.
Constantly. It really is like that cat and mouse game with the, you know.
With the bad guys.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, high stakes. Okay, so moving on from our digital guardians to, I guess, our digital architects.
Okay.
The article talks about AI and machine learning developers. And I have to admit, sometimes I feel like that whole AI thing like goes over my head a little bit.
Yeah, it can seem complicated. At its core, though, AI is about teaching machines to learn
Okay.
from data
Okay.
and then perform those tasks that usually need human intelligence.
Gotcha.
So it's like instead of programming a computer for every single step, you're teaching it to learn and adapt all on its own.
So instead of giving it a recipe, we're teaching it to be the chef.
Exactly.
Okay,
And as
wow.
these AI chefs get more, you know, advanced, they'll be able to handle even more complex things, from like writing code to, you know, diagnosing diseases.
Wow. See, that's where it's like, whoa, okay, this is getting real. And the article even asks this question, who's going to be the boss in the end, me or my robot? A little ominous, don't you think?
It's a question we get a lot, and I
A
think it's
lot.
important to remember AI is a tool.
Okay.
And like any tool, it can be used for good. It can be used for, you know,
For bad.
not so great things.
Right.
So the real question is, how are we going to shape the future of work with this tool?
That's a great point. It's not about being replaced, it's about how we're all going to work together.
Exactly.
So how does that actually play out, you know, in the real world?
Well, take Amazon Warehouse robots.
Okay.
They mentioned that in the article. These robots aren't there to replace everyone.
Okay.
They're there to take those really repetitive tasks.
Right, like heavy lifting.
Exactly, moving those boxes. And that allows the human workers to focus on more, you know, complex things.
Right, so they're not like out of a job, they're just doing something different.
Exactly.
Okay. So it's about finding that space where they work together, humans and AI.
Finding those strengths, yeah.
Okay, that makes sense. So from the digital world to something a little bit more, I don't know, immersive.
Okay.
The article talks about virtual reality designers, and I have to admit, the thought of building worlds like in a computer
Yeah.
is pretty mind-blowing.
It's amazing what they can do.
It is.
And it's not just about, you know, creating these amazing landscapes,
Right.
although that's definitely a huge part of it. It's about the experience.
Okay.
It's about, imagine like attending a conference,
Okay.
but you feel like you're on a tropical island.
Oh, sign me up.
Right.
I'm
Or working
ready.
on a project.
Yeah.
But you're in like a replica of the Library of Alexandria.
Wow, that would be a lot more interesting than my Monday morning meeting.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's interesting, the article mentions people spending thousands of dollars on clothes, accessories for their avatars.
Really?
Yeah, it shows how these virtual spaces are becoming like extensions of
So
ourselves.
it's not just about escaping reality, it's about creating new realities.
Exactly. And that ties into what they were talking about with the metaverse. you know, that network of virtual worlds,
right,
which is becoming, you know, really important for work and play.
It's like, instead of just visiting websites, you're in them.
Yeah. I mean, that's a very simple way to put it.
Right.
But you get the idea.
Yeah.
And that is creating such a huge demand for these VR designers.
Of course. Yeah.
Because they're the ones that make it happen.
Right. Who can build that experience.
Exactly.
Okay. So virtual fashion shows in the metaverse.
Right.
That's a future I can get behind.
Yeah.
Especially if it means I never have to deal with like a crowded dressing room again.
Right.
But let's move on to a career path that hits a little closer to home.
Okay.
Literally. Genetic consultants.
Yeah.
So helping people, you know, kind of navigate the world of their own DNA.
Exactly. It's becoming so important. And the article highlights this with a family.
Okay.
With a history of cancer. And they end up seeking guidance from this genetic consultant. And it's something we're going to see more and more as genetic testing becomes more accessible.
It makes you think about all the questions people must have, like, what are my chances of developing certain diseases? Or like, what can I do to, I don't know, lower my risk?
Right.
Or like, even just thinking about like starting a family, like, what should I know?
Yeah, these are all big questions.
Right.
And a genetic consultant, you know, they're there to provide information and support.
Okay.
They're not there to tell you what to do.
Gotcha.
They help you understand your, you know, genetic makeup.
Yeah.
Explain those potential risks.
Okay.
But ultimately, it's about empowering people to make their own decisions.
So it's about giving them the information and the tools so they can make the choices that are right for them.
Exactly. But, you know, just like any powerful technology, genetic testing has...
Right. It has its downsides.
It has, yeah, ethical considerations.
Yeah, yeah.
The article kind of glazes over this, mm-hmm. but it's a really important discussion.
For sure.
You know, how do we make sure people's information stays private? How do we prevent genetic discrimination?
Yeah. That's a whole other...
At a whole other...
Dive.
Exactly.
Yeah. But it's so interesting how, like, a lot of these jobs of the future, it's not just about, like, oh, you need these technical skills.
Yeah.
It's like you need to be able to navigate all these, like,
exactly.
ethical dilemmas that come along with all this advancement.
Exactly. It's that human element.
Yeah.
And it shows how much we need people who can, like, bridge that gap.
Right.
Between, you know, what we can do and, like, what we should do.
Yes, exactly. Speaking of what we can do, I wanted to touch on the article had this really fun section about like unconventional jobs.
Oh, yeah.
Which I don't know about you, but I love those like weird jobs you never knew existed.
Yes.
It's like those, you know, you read about people getting paid to like sniff armpits.
Exactly.
For deodorant companies and stuff.
It's fascinating.
It is fascinating. This article had a couple of those. Like, for instance, professional subway pushers.
Yeah.
You know, in Tokyo.
No.
They have people whose actual job.
People actually.
Is to, like, shove people onto the train.
I can't believe that's a real job.
I know, right? Because during rush hour.
Yeah.
It gets so crowded that they need people to be like.
Just squeeze everybody in.
Get everybody in. Get those doors closed.
Oh, my goodness.
Talk about a hands-on job.
I know. You need a strong stomach for that.
Yeah, literally and figuratively, I think. But then on a completely different note, they also mentioned professional cuddlers.
Professional cuddlers?
Yeah, you know, right? It sounds made up.
What is that?
But apparently there's a growing demand for people who are, like, stressed, lonely.
Right.
Maybe they just need some, like,
some human touch.
Yeah, some physical contact. So they hire these people.
Just to hug.
Yeah, just to cuddle. Totally platonic.
Interesting. I mean, I get it, you know?
Yeah, I can see the appeal.
Especially in our, you know, digital world, which can be isolating.
It can be. It really can.
And so it makes you wonder, like, what else are people willing to pay for?
I know, right? Is there, like, a line? Well, this article says that people get paid to taste dog food.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
Like, actually eat it?
They eat the dog food and make sure it, like, you know, meets quality standards and all that.
That's, wow. I don't know if I could do that.
That takes dedication.
Yeah. Or a strong stomach.
That too. But it's a good reminder that the world of work is full of surprises.
You know, it's funny. I think even those unconventional jobs, they show how much we still need that human touch.
Yeah.
Even in the craziest ways.
Right.
Like those subway pushers, right? They're not just like pushing people onto a train.
Yeah.
They're making sure things run smoothly.
Right. Keeping it moving.
Exactly. And the dog food tasters.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
It's a labor of love.
Right. It's all about our pets.
Yeah.
You know, and that bond we have.
Yeah, for sure.
It really is fascinating.
It is. But it makes you wonder, with all this talk about like robots and automation.
Right.
What's the job market going to look like, you know, down the line? Will there even be room for us alongside all those, like, AI chefs and, you know?
It's the big question, isn't it? But remember how we were saying AI is a tool?
Look.
So the jobs that'll probably be automated are the ones that are, you know, kind of predictable, the same thing every time.
Right. The ones that robots can do in their sleep.
Exactly. The jobs that'll really matter. Those are the ones that need us to be human.
Oh, okay. So, like, what does that mean?
Things like creativity.
Yeah.
Critical thinking. You know, being able to read a situation.
Emotional intelligence. All that.
All of that. The messy stuff robots aren't so good at.
Right, right. So, the more human, the more future-proof.
You got it.
Okay, I like that. But then how do we even get ready for a future where, like, the jobs are changing all the time?
Well, that's where being adaptable comes in.
Right.
And being willing to learn. Constantly.
Always learning, always growing.
Exactly. You can't just specialize in one thing anymore. The future belongs to the curious, the flexible.
So less about predicting the future, more about making it.
Now you're getting it. That's what's so exciting. We get to shape this.
I like that.
We create a world where, you know, technology helps us be even more human, not less.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's a future I'm definitely on board with.
Me too.
Well, on that note, I want to thank you for joining me on this deep dive. It's been fascinating.
It's been a pleasure being here.
And to our listeners, keep that curiosity going. Never stop learning. Who knows what amazing jobs are just around the corner, right?